Senator John Cummins. John, what the book were you thinking?
Firstly, Damien, can I thank you for affording me the opportunity at short notice this morning to come on your programme, to talk directly to your listeners, and to apologise to them for my attendance at that dinner in Clifton 2 weeks ago now at this stage. Damien, I should never have been in that room. I wasn't staying in that hotel. I had no business being near that hotel on that night in question. And I know I've let other family members, friends, colleagues, and the people of Waterford down. I know they expect better of me.
Marie Harney, you would have known, I've heard of Joe Harney, again, maybe canvas for votes. Marie Harney was on the programme there last week. I don't know if you heard her. This is what she had to say.
I lost my dad on the 17th of April, Joe Harney. A lot of people will know him. 1959, All-Ireland hurling star. We were only allowed to have his 6 children, 6 spouses and grandchildren attend my dad's funeral. We abide by all the public health guidelines. And then for this to happen is absolutely beyond me. Every one of them, Derek Cleary, in my mind, went before he was sacked. Phil Hogan should be sacked. And all these others that attended have to reflect. They basically, Damien, stuck up their 2 fingers at the rest of them. And they can do what they like. But we have to toe the line. I'm just disgusted, Damien.
Look, it's obviously devastating to hear those words.
Nigel Pym was 50 when he died of COVID last Thursday at University Hospital Waterford. He was cremated in Cork on Saturday. His family weren't allowed to see him, as the realities of this terrible virus means that after he died, he was put in a body bag and a sealed coffin. The outpouring of sympathy has been phenomenal. Nigel's wife, Jenny, hasn't been able to get back to everyone and wouldn't be expected, obviously. She wanted to thank everyone for their messages here on social media and anyone who's made contact. And she also wants to thank the amazing staff at University Hospital Waterford. So I went to the porch of their home. Their house is off a narrow road between Tramore and Dunhill. Speaking to them from the front door, all with masks on and with a microphone at the end of a 3-metre extension pole, I heard a modest family speak about the love of their life. Who would be embarrassed about all this would agree that if this morning's message saved one life, then it would be worth it. And we'll never know, I suppose, if that happens, as it's you, the listeners, who will discern what you do in your actions today, tomorrow and the next day. Her son Robert is like his dad, preferring to work behind the scenes and is doing conservation ecology in Sweden. He's going to save the planet, Nigel used to joke, and Jordan is going to save people. She's studying first medicine in UCD. We hope they get to achieve their dreams, as the earth has currently been pulled out from under their world. I asked Jenny first, what did she think of the outpouring of support?
We actually can't believe that he was so quiet and unassuming, and just so many messages. I, at the moment, can't reply to anybody. I have my phone off most of the time because it's so raw. He was kind to everybody, but he was my soulmate. But what I really want to thank is there's so many people, everybody who sent a message, everybody who contacted you, was on your show, everybody who, from the Samaritans to just school, to old school people, to business people, everybody. I'm not able to reply to you all, but just to know that we really appreciate it.
Nobody would expect you to. Nobody would expect you to.
I think we were so careful. We do not know where Nigel got this. All of us tested negative. Jordan tested negative twice because she had symptoms, so we sent her for testing again. None of the rest of the family.
Dad, he wore his mask everywhere to work. We were everywhere.
Hand sanitizer in both the cars, like literally. And he didn't, because he worked from home so most of the time. So he didn't go out at all. But anyway, He arrived, I walked him into the hospital and I squeezed his hand and said, I'll see you in a few days. And they brought him straight up to the COVID ward, and I think at that stage he was one of the only ones in there. And anyway, he got sicker and sicker and sicker, and then he was brought into the ICU. And you have no idea the work they are doing in there, Damien. Every single one of them is doing their job, they say, but it's not. They are doing so much more. I tried not to ring very often because I felt when they were talking to me on the phone, they weren't helping him or the other people. So we tried just to ring once or twice a day, didn't we, Jordan?
Yeah, but every time we rang, they answered, and they were all so nice, and they used to, I think they knew Mum's number at the end of it, because they used to say, oh, it's Jenny calling who wants to talk to her. And they were always so good, explained everything so carefully, because we see these people on the news, on the ventilators, but you don't really know what happens. You don't know all about, well, he had to go on dialysis, he took insulin, and, you know, we were in there just to say goodbye, and just all the machines and everything and all the work. And we had to, every time we went into the room, we had to put on a gown, gloves, a special mask. We put on the goggles and did the facial, because it was just getting fogged up. But, you know, then because we had to leave a few times, just, and every time we came back in, it was a new set of PPE, and just,
they have to do that every single time they go into one of these people. And they have to degown then before they come out. So there's a few, and I don't have everybody's name, and I wish I did. There's a few people that really, so Bridget was always so kind to me. Every time I rang, she didn't deal directly with Nigel, but she always had a kind word for me. And the first day I went in to see him on that Monday, she came out after me and was just so kind. Dave, the first nurse that I spoke to, who was looking after him, he's from Liverpool, but so kind and so honest. Dr. Craig, who just always spoke so kindly to me and not down to me. None of them ever spoke down to me. Ashley, who I'll remember forever because she was always on the phone. And then when I went in the second time, she came out and she knelt with me because I was so upset. Of all of them, I don't know if you knew this, Damien, but Nigel's cousin, Barbara Johnson, is a dietitian in ICU. And I will never be able to thank her for everything that she did, because whenever I had to talk to the doctors or anything like that, she always offered to stay. She always offered to come in with me to the room. For those people who aren't taking this seriously, to see someone you love on all these machines is absolutely heartbreaking. He was only 50 years of age.
Minister of State, Mary Butler, good morning.
Good morning, Damien, and good morning to everyone listening.
Mary, there's a lot of people listening this morning that are rightly peed off.
I can understand that. I have similar sentiments myself. This virus, Damien, is unforgiving, and the level of COVID infection in the country is no longer falling.
And have you any idea whatsoever that is? Like, you're supposed to be leading this country, you're supposed to be fighting this virus on our behalf. Have you any idea why it's not going down?
That there is a rise in mobility, there's a rise in people congregating and in social mixing. Now, I'm not here trying to point a finger. I'm just stating the facts that are being presented.
It sounds like you are. You're basically blaming the people for the rise of the COVID number of people. We're happy to hear the little piece I did yesterday and Damien being tortured regarding getting his back waxed. Can you play a little bit of that this morning? Just to cheer us up this morning. Let's have a little bit of this. This is me with the Ivy Beauty Treatment Centre yesterday about to get my back waxed. Here's 2 minutes.
Okay, so this is going on the skin
now. We're just going to apply it on the skin.
Oh.
Does it feel okay?
Yeah, it's hot all right.
A little bit hot.
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay? Are you nervous? This actually little part is just getting that little lip is the little sore part.
Ah! 5:38 a.m. Saturday morning, the first Saturday in January, and a young man, a young Waterford man, is about to embark on the next phase of his life, an exciting journey, and I'm going to call to see him outside his house before he heads off. His name is Tega. It's a cold, frosty morning, and I want to hear what he has to say. Too early.
So, good morning.
How are you?
Good, yourself?
I won't delay you long. I know you're busy.
No, he's just 2 minutes late and we go.
How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
What's happening this morning?
Tega is on his way to Dublin. I reached to the US to start his college life there.
Was it a nice Christmas?
It was quiet. I know all the COVID-19 protocol. We have to obey what it is, and adhere to the rules. You save life. You save your own life and save the life of others. So it was quiet, and nice. We thank God we are alive. Yeah.
And you have the suitcases are packed here. Everything is ready.
Together, yes. Sounds
well.
Well,
how's it going? Good to see you.
Good. So are you?
Good, not too bad, not too bad. What's happening this morning? Is everybody going up, or who's going up, or where are you going? To Dublin or Cork?
To Dublin, Dublin. The mom, the brother, and the McQueen, I'll be back. You don't want to crowd the car, you know?
Yes, of course. What are your hopes now?
Yeah, just hope for the best. Go there and start another life, and then, you know, look forward for a better future, and the future starts today. So, we only hope and pray for the best. And he has a good spirit, so hopefully he should be able to cope with all the challenges and the new expectations.
You'll miss him?
Oh, certainly, you know it. Certainly.
Oh. Christy, how are you? Are you tired?
Not really.
How do you feel this morning?
Well, will I say miss feelings? I'm happy at the same time that I'm going to miss him as well. He's going for a good cause. So, I'm delighted.
You will miss him.
Oh, big time. I will. It's tough. It's hard. It's a hard pill.
How was Christmas?
Christmas was good. Christmas was my birthday, so Christmas is always fun because I was born on Christmas Day.
What are your hopes now?
I know he's going for greener height, and we'll hear more of him. He will do well by his grace. I know the Lord will go before him, will go with him, and will go after him, and will make everything, perfect for him.
Thanks so much for driving from Dungarvan to be with us this morning.
No problem, my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. As I say, we try to mix things up on the programme. We do light stuff, we do heavy stuff, we do human interest stuff and things that's interesting for people, whether it be Zoom meetings and what to wear during a Zoom meeting. And your story is very, very important. We had Tom Gallagher on during the summer, and we haven't had anybody else on since who had COVID.
Okay.
You're 46 years of age.
Yes, that's right.
Part-time nurse living in Dungarvan.
Yeah.
What are you nursing at, or what?
Well, I'm a full-time carer for my son who's recovering from brain surgeries, and I work part-time as an agency nurse in the A&E department in Waterford, and I've been there for the last 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what happened during the summer.
Okay, well, this was back in March, so this is over 6 months ago now. One of the days I woke up and I just wasn't feeling 100% right. A little bit lightheaded, a little bit dizzy, checked my temperature, it was fine. You know, we were told to check ourselves before we went to work, so we did. Got to work, was checking my temperature all day. Just felt a little bit off, not quite right. I went home that night, got into bed, and I woke up at about 3 a.m., absolutely drenched in sweat. Checked my temperature, was 39.2. So I thought, okay, it's probably coronavirus. Rang the GP in the morning and he said, hold tight, we'll get an ambulance out to do the swabs, because that's kind of what they were doing at the time.
God, you remember those days?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I never actually got a test, as it happens. This is when we were running out of reagents, when we were running out of all the testing. So I stayed put. My daughter also developed a very high temperature. Hers was 39.2, 39.3. Just took paracetamol, took Nurofen. The first couple of days, I actually felt okay. I thought, right, this is a bad flu. I can cope with this. This is okay. Day 4 and 5, I remember at night just sitting at the edge of the bed and holding on to the edge of the bed. And I had 999 dialed. I'm a solo parent, very little backup. Like, I have great cousins and family and stuff in the community, but nobody that I felt I could say, here, take the kids, take the animals, take over my house. And I looked at the dial button on 999 and I just thought, okay, just if I can take another breath, I'll hold on. If I can take another breath, I'll hold on. And maybe 5:30 in the morning, the birds were singing, the light was coming up. I was like, okay, I've made it, I've made it. Propped myself up on the bed, maybe take another Nurofen, a couple of paracetamol and sleep. Sleep. Now, prior to this, I had been doing weightlifting. I was in CrossFit, swimming, Pilates, walking the dog, everything, every day. Go, 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 go. I used to say going to work in A&E was my day off. That's how busy I was, and that's the level of energy I had. So
you describe yourself as a fit person.
I've never been fitter. I actually got to a place where I'd moved to Dungarvan. I was on the Greenway. I was outdoors. I was living a brilliant life. You know, Waterford, Dungarvan, no better place to be. And I was taking full advantage of that. My son had come through a very long period of surgeries. You know, I was on the carer's allowance. I had my hours in A&E and everything was going really, really well. Yeah, that was very good.
What happened next?
So over the next couple of days, I noticed, number one, I couldn't smell or taste anything. My son had garlic chips in the house one of the days and I ate one and I said, oh, what's that? And he said, oh, there's garlic chips. And I honestly couldn't taste a thing. Everything tasted like porridge, just nothing. I would try and make my way down the stairs most mornings to make a cup of tea. And I have a very small house. It's very, very small. But by the time I got to the bottom of the stairs, I'd have to have a sit down. I'd make a cup of tea and have some Nurofen, some paracetamol. And it might take me an hour or two to get the energy to get back up the stairs again. And then I would sleep for maybe 8 or 10 hours.
Tell me about that mental appreciation that you have a potentially life-threatening bug in your system. That fear, that constant thought, oh my God.
I think, like a lot of us, was totally, totally addicted to the media. And I was reading about my colleagues all over the world. Breena George, a 58-year-old lady who died. Danielle DeCenso, a 33-year-old nurse who died. John Alagos, a 23-year-old nurse who died. Rebecca Back, a 29-year-old nurse in the UK who rang 999 and left the front door open. By the time they got to her, she was dead. I lived in constant fear and constant pain. I woke up every hour on the hour to try and move my neck to find a comfortable position. The pain is indescribable, even with the full amount of painkillers. I remember texting my brothers one of the day and I said, I feel like I've been hit by a truck. Now, my brother is my next of kin and he would be the executor of my will. I made sure that I had my will and my insurance papers to hand on the kitchen table, clearly labelled, in case I was found dead in my house, so he could look after my children and execute my will for me.
Did you think you were going to die?
The nights were very long. It was really, really my worst nightmare. But it was in the back of my mind that that was a possibility. Yeah, it was.